evening, family. My name is Azam, Deputy Buster, coming at it. First things first, like always, I want to thank the God of understanding for the gift in the moment and allowing me the nakash now to meet it. For that, I'm truly grateful. I want to thank God for his continued grace and mercy for allowing me to be here. I want to welcome the newcomer, anybody coming back from a relapse. According to our liturgy, the shame is not in the relapse, the shame is in not coming back. I always want to give thanks to those who got in before me. That on July 11, 1995, they prayed for the still suffering addict. God heard their prayer and touched my heart. And just for that, I got 29 years, 7 months, and like 9 days. I want to thank the Northeast Freedom Area for sending me the memo. Because of a second tradition, they had a group conscience. James, man, thank you. I love you, man. Thank you for staying in touch with me. Thank y'all for the spirit that invited me in here. Because since I've been here since Friday, man, I was like really welcome. Like, Nick, I got a barometer, right? Let me put my disclaimer in first, right? Let me get my disclaimer. I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings tonight. Yeah. And the only reason why, because I have healed in some places, and you haven't, and you're going to get mad at me. And how I know that from my own experience from sitting out there and not having the awakening of the spirit, I was still dead. So when they were sharing up here, I got pissed off because they did the work, and now I'm mad at the person that has been called to carry the message, and my spirit has not received it, so now I'm mad at you. The book even said, if you have found this book, give yourself, it ain't say give me a break, it said give yourself a break. Right, so I'm going to share something that you probably still doing. You know, because we're talking about give back what's so freely given. And some people need to keep what they're trying to give away. and I'm telling you from experience, man. I came here as a little boy. So my disclaimer, I'm not here to tell you what the program should mean to you. What your God should be, who it should not be, or what it should look like, or any of that. But I'm telling you, if you have not done the work, please don't kill yourself. Why would you say that? That's what my sponsor told me. He said, you might be killing the wrong person. So I come from a place, man, where that, you know, the literature is the foundation in order to revive the spirit. So I want to thank the speakers before me, anyone speaks after me. You know, I was talking to Tony earlier, man, and I said, yo, you must have been tapping the phone call that I was talking to my sponsor about. Because I have been an opportunity to do this plenty of time, but I still call my sponsor before I do anything. For whatever reason, I don't even know why I call him. I just call him, right? And I said, yo, guess what the topic is? He says, an awakening of the spirit. And then what he told me, Tony shared about it. I said, yo, this guy, now I can't share about it because Tony already shared about it. But it's a repetitious program because before the awakening of the spirit, you got to identify that you have a dead spirit. The literature talks about coming here, you know, bankrupt. Bankrupt, right? Because listen, I didn't get here because I got tired of drugs. That's not my story. I got here because I got tired of going to jail, only to get here to find out that I was in jail before I went to jail. Right? So I'm talking about from a dead spirit because my dad abandoned me at the age of 3 and being left to grow up with my mother and my 3 sisters trying to raise me to be a man. My spirit was big, bro, but I didn't know my spirit was gone. I'm talking about I got into a beef with God, stopped believing in God, and became an atheist. And that's what I'm talking about because you might be in here. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. An atheist at the age of 14 and running around calling myself God. I learned racism. They told me the black man was God and the white man was the devil and had me messed up as a little kid. I was messed up, man. So we're talking about a dead spirit with that. How can you hate humanity when there's only one God that's known by many names? But I don't know that. So for a long time, man, I ran around just having some real ill feeling for people that did not do nothing to me. And I understand history and all that, but history sometimes is his story. I don't know. I'm going to say that again. It's his story. Right? So as I grow up as a kid, man, I'm talking about being lost, you know what I'm saying, without a spirit, right, I was willing to be anybody but me. And I grew up in a neighborhood where there was nothing but drug dealers, gamblers, hustlers, and I'm not big on or sharing war story, but they said, the leader said, we need to give the newcomer something to identify with. I don't get stuck on drug stories, man, because we're talking about the awakening of the spirit, because I got a story that my spirit was awoke, but I was still trifling. Right, so at an early age, smoking marijuana at the end at 31 years old, I'm smoking crack and drinking, and in between that, who knows what happened? Who knows on Thirsty Hour Night? And y'all got a Thirsty Hour Night here in BMO. I know y'all do. I watched that show y'all got. It was a real famous show. I watched it, right? So what I'm saying is, for the identification purposes, man, I'm talking about the alleyways, the abandoned building, the cars and all that. But I'm talking about my bottom was jailed. I remember July 11, 1995. And I remember being introduced to this program through an uncle, man. And when he took me to that first meeting, I don't know it was an NA meeting. He just came on the block. He said, I want to take you somewhere. He didn't tell me where I was going. And I went in the meeting, and they started opening up the meeting. They said, listen, if you carry any drugs, weapons, drugs, paraphernalia, take it outside, stash it, preferably trash it. Those things are welcome. You're not. I knew I was going to get high after the meeting. I had my stem on me. I stashed it. They said, I was following directions, right? They told me to stash it, so I don't know if anybody see me, but I slid it out my pocket and then stuck it in my sneaker, like. But I used some more. And I remember 1995, July 11th, man. I reported to parole. I still had a job. I'm still working and all of that. And I reported to parole. I told the parole, I said, yo, I can't do this no more. He said, well, do what? I said, yo, I'm using again. He said, what you want to do? I said, I don't know what to do. See, I don't know that my spirit is being awoken in that moment. By asking for help. Because that's the whole idea, right? Your spirit get awoken when you start to ask for help. I don't know if you believe me or not. I'm going to let the literature say it. This comes out of the first step. Our awakening has been progressive, beginning with a spark of awareness in the first step. Before we admitted the truth about our addiction, we only knew the darkness of denial. But when we surrendered, acknowledging that we couldn't arrest our addiction or hope for a better life on our own, a ray of light broke through the darkness, beginning our spiritual awakening. I'm talking about the parole officer, the one I always ran from. He said, let's go to a detox. I said, detox? I said, you realize I've been going in and out of jail for 11 years? I ain't doing detox. He said, so let's go to treatment. I said, what's treatment? I tell the guy, yo, I want to get out of Brooklyn. I'm really from New York. I said, I want to get out of Brooklyn. He takes me to the Bronx. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm in the Bronx, and then I'm in an area that looks just like Brooklyn. But thank God, we're talking about awakening of the spirit started while I was in treatment, man, because I'm talking about going in July 12, 1995, on August 17th of that same year. I don't know, I got an aneurysm in my brain. Man, this always get me, man. I don't know about who goes to jail a lot. I know some of y'all here, right? We go to jail, first thing we want to do is work out. We want to start bench pressing and all of that. Then I'm bench pressing one day, and I go to put the weights up, man. Something busts inside my brain, and I'm bleeding internally. And they rush me to the hospital, and the doctor say, yo, if you don't have the surgery, you're going to die. Immediately, it's not a foxhole prayer. I start praying. And as I start praying, he's telling me, yo, what you doing? I said, man, do what you're supposed to be doing. Let me do what I need to do. Because this time I'm not trying to negotiate with God anymore. And I come out of the surgery the next day, and I got my head is twice the size it was when I went in. And I got staples going down the side of my face. And that's when I did a 10th step, not knowing it was a 10th step. But I'm talking about when I take a look at my life, because one of my things is the reason why I don't get into a war story, because I give you the short version of it. Being in New York, I was inspired by Wesley Snipes. Got here, and as my spirit started to wake, I said, you was closer to Pookie. Right? And other movies, I'm talking about, that's what inspired me. But when I sat in my bed for 12 days, man, I reflected on all the stuff that I've been through. And I don't like talking about those stories, right? But I have a lot of them. If I want, like, I don't want to bore y'all with that, man. I'm not that mimicking addict. I'm not here to tell y'all if you want to hear from you about how to use. I'm not that guy, man. I can't stand when I hear stuff like that. And that's my pet peeve, man, the stuff that I hear. Because we talk about being misinformed by the misinformed, and they right in here with us. I pray that God use me tonight to say some stuff that need to be said to somebody. I don't know why they wrote words, how they wrote it in the book and all that. If you just touch one person, I don't want to touch one person. It might sound like ego because my addiction didn't touch one person. Why would I want to just touch one person to think God's job is done if he keep putting on these events like this to invite more than one person? Somebody's dying right now. I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about right in here with us right now. Somebody is dying with a quiet spirit that need to be awoken. So they said, share your recovery loudly so they ain't got to die silently. So after I come out of surgery, I go back to the program. James, they want to send me home. I said, but wait a minute. I just got here. So they put me inside the medical part where that way they can keep an eye on me because I don't know, if I sit with a psychiatrist or something, I'm sure they would diagnose me with something. I promise you, right? Because I couldn't keep still. I don't know. If you smoke crack the way I smoke crack, I mean, listen, I can't keep still now. Right? So I'm a speed through treatment, right? So I go through treatment. I do 22 months and 19 days. But, you know, the liturgy even talking about act as if until you become. So I'm in treatment acting as if. And if you want to know about somebody's real character, get them a position. So I'm in treatment, and I was a liaison. I couldn't even pronounce that word before, and I'm a liaison to staff and clients. And I just take my attitude out on them. It was time for them to go on the pass, and I couldn't go on the pass. Stand on the front line. Stand right there. H and I came in. And they carried this life-saving message. And I was pissed off with H&I because every time they came in, I was playing chess. I said, why these people keep coming in here, this and that? And a guy came in, and in New York, they got these slick names. He said, my name is such and such, no matter what. I said, yo, what is that no matter what? He said, no matter what, you ain't ever got to use. And I wasn't a Zam or AZ. I was Frederick in treatment, right? I started saying, my name is Fred, no matter what. But I really don't understand the concept, right? So I made meetings because I had to make meetings for those 22 months and 19 days. And when they said, when you get out, go to the meeting and all that, and who going at 22 months and 70 days, you say, I'm going to a meeting? Where my man at? Matter of fact, James, you right here. His clean date. Check me, think of the awakening. His clean date is my birthday. James, they let me out May 31st, the day before my birthday. So mind you, all I did, well, you know how they say we only want the absence from pain of using drugs? That was my story. I just wanted to stop going to jail. So when they let me out May 31st, the day before my birthday. You know, I don't know about my birthday. Always began 15 days before and ended 15 days after. So I ended up in an active club that night. Fronting, man. You know, like, I don't know about the mask, but I know about fronting. They said there's no future in fronting, but I was fronting for a long time. So I go hang out with people, places, and things, and I end up in the club. And now I'm in the club, and when they go to the bar, everybody ordering drinks. And I'm talking about, I still want to fit in. So I go to the bar with them. I order grape soda. Grape. But it don't look cute like theirs. Can you please put a cherry and an umbrella in my glass? True story, right? And I've got like two or something years clean, and I'm just like, and I'm trying to fit in, and I'm walking around. I got my little Mr. T Stardust kid, and then when I got clean, yo, I had 6 gold fronts, so you couldn't tell me nothing. I'm talking about, you know, being clean on the outside, but I don't know how dirty I'm on the inside because my spirit is dead. And I'm trying to fit in with these dudes. And I did that for some years, man. And I'm making meetings only because my uncle's going to meetings. I'm not driving none of that. You know what I'm saying? Then I finally get a car. All I got is a permit. Like, I'm talking about the behaviors are still there because my spirit is dead. But then eventually, man, I had this major car accident with about three years clean. I almost killed me and 3 other individuals in a car accident. Right, and I happen to be listening to, I don't know if you know a brother named Khalees, man. God bless the dead, man. You know what I'm saying? And he was playing this, I was playing like, it was a cassette tape. Some of y'all don't know about that. It was a cassette tape, right? And he was talking to his sponsor. He said, "Yo, sponsor, how do you know my life is a manual?" He said, "Could you powerless over your addiction?" He said, "How do you know I'm powerless over my addiction?" He said, "Because your life is unmanageable." And that shit caught my attention. And as soon as that happened, I fell asleep. And the guy that called me almost went through the windshield. And the guy that called that I hit, I believe he's paralyzed. He's forever on my eighth step. And then he had me because he was trying to sue me for $2 million. But I got a letter in the mail, man. So I'm talking about, you know, just to preempt that, man. Because, like, thank you, Daniel. I'm that right now addict. I like to tell you what it looked like right now with the awakening of the spirit, right? With the awakening of the spirit. So the first step broke the mold to help me understand that, you know, I have a disease that affects every area of my life. So I'm not talking about my first step or second or third. I'm talking about the most recent one. What does that look like when you still trying to control, knowing that you can't control, but you try to do it anyway? I'm talking about the hurt and harm that I caused because I've been through the 12 steps a number of times. I'm in book studies. I do book studies. I do all of that. But how about the teacher teach best what the teacher needs to learn the most? I'm talking about causing harm with an awoken spirit. And sometimes it's so embarrassing, man, because one of the persons that I'm talking about is right here in the room with us right now. And she never really heard me share, so I want to be mindful because I don't want to cause no indirect harm by sharing my truth. But I'm talking real nasty to her at times, man. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about my wife that sits in the front. Even now, with an awoken spirit, I can be real nasty, man. Because do you really understand what it says when your disease is totally self-centered? Not any type of self-centered. I mean, totally self-centered, where you want what you want when you want it, but then you want it at the expense of somebody else, even if you're going to hurt their feelings. And she stuck with me with some real foul stuff that I did, man. Stuck with me. And then I have to ask myself, damn, if it was me, I wouldn't have stayed with me. Knowing my behavior, I wouldn't have stayed with me, man. But I'm talking about from doing the work when the first step says that, you know, that I had to open the door to a power greater than me in order for me to get recovery. But then I understand my second step says the purpose is to fill the void. But how about when you know you can't fill the void with something tangible and you still try to do it? It is foul to love because she's not saying what I want her to say, right? And I go, I'll pay all the bills. Stupid, you supposed to pay the bills. You the man of the house. You don't get no props for that. So in doing the work, man, when we talking about the awakening of the spirit, I had to understand that the first three steps says this is a necessary foundation for the spiritual foundation. But I don't know that my spirit is dead until I go into the fourth step and I see how dark my life is. I'm not talking about the first, fourth, or third, fourth step. I'm talking about in the here and now. What does that look like when I'm talking about, yo, I got my son here too, so I want to be mindful because, like, that's his mom's right there. But that's, check it out. Some people might not get this right here. They're going to say, Dad, that's ugly to say. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself because his biological mother was threatening his life. Y'all might not get this. God said, I need to remove him and give him somebody who's going to really love him. Why are we here? Says what? We gave up our lives for the use of drugs. My son is teaching me more about my spirit than I thought I could even. My sponsor don't even give me what my son gives me. My son showed me the integrity that she had that I couldn't see. I took him to the doctor one day. And the doctor said, who did your hair? He said, my mommy messed me up. Right? We talking about the awakening of the spirit through something of a calamity and adversities. I'm not talking about because I can do step work and get the spirit awoken, but can you have your spirit awoken in the calamity? Right? And I didn't know that could happen, but I remember on July 2nd, 2010, after talking to my son, getting into an argument with him, and then I tell my son, yo, stay off the block. And he go to the same block that I told him to stay off of and get murdered. And I didn't know it would do that to my spirit, right? But then at that point there, I'm going back and forth trying to get his body from the precinct, but it was a homicide, so they had to hold his body. But then when we get his body, I got my son's body back, and I go to the morgue, right? And then they bring him to the funeral home, and I get to wash the blood off my son's body after getting shot in the chest one time. I didn't know how that would lift my spirit up, washing the blood off my son. But now check this, right? Because we get invited to places now. And I had a suit in the closet, all-white suit. I had never been to a white all-white affair. And I'm waiting to go to an all-white affair, not knowing that that suit was prepared to put on my son. And then in the same suit, I bought another white suit. But I said, "This, listen, the awakening of the spirit says this, this was in my clothing. I would never not wear what I want to wear on a rainy day. You know, it's a rainy day, you prepare to wear something because it's rainy. You say, oh, now I'm not going to wear it. I don't do that no more. That same white suit, I remember putting it on again. I didn't want to wait for another calamity. The awakening of the spirit. And I was sharing at a convention. I had an all white. I could imagine what they was thinking. I said, I have three things about this suit. Living tradition says about attraction rather than promotion. White is the universal sign of surrender. And I had to break the ice because I was a little nervous that day. And I said, we are now here. Right? So what I'm talking about, when a spirit get awoken by direct result, and I heard him say it yesterday, that having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I heard you, Mel. That means if you get to 12 and your spirit is not awoken, something wrong with the other 11. And how you know, all you gotta do is look at your behavior. So let me tell you about some of the things that I know my spirit has worked. So the same father that abandoned me, right? I remember 2017, I have to go to New York to go see my moms. And I go to the hospital, and who's in the hospital? My dad is in the hospital. Because I abandoned my dad after them abandoning me. How about that? After doing the work, after doing the ninth step, after sitting with him and finding out, why did you leave me? And I go to the hospital. The nurse says, yo, did they tell you? I said, tell me what? That if somebody don't take your dad, they putting him in a nursing home. Now, mind you, I done been clean. I done invited my dad to a lot of things. The only time my dad showed up for me was for my son's funeral. And then next you know, I get a phone call. They say he said he had come. I said, hold on, wait, who, when? He wouldn't come to no anniversaries. I got credentials and all that. He ain't come to none of that. But he's willing to come. I say, okay, because I already committed to it. We're talking about awakening of the spirit. It's continuous. I let dad come. He comes to Charlotte. He gets off. The first thing I find out, something's definitely mentally wrong with him. We driving to Atlanta to do something. Matter of fact, we always celebrate my son's death, his birthday and the day he died. And we driving. The GPS is on. This is a true story. I'm serious. We driving. So you know, the GPS come on and turns the music down. The lady come on. Then they say, we are now making a left. My dad go, who the fuck she yelling at? Right? I think he's joking. My uncle goes, Freddie, that's the GPS. He still said, I don't give a fuck. She ain't got to yell. Now, I don't catch on. I think he's joking because my dad is a jokester. You know what I'm saying? So I paid no mind, man. And the time go by, he started repeating himself, this and that. But long story short, after getting a man that I don't know, because let me share with you, even though I've seen him periodically, my dad was out of my life technically since I was 3. He came into my life. I'm 52 at this point. That's like 49 years. I don't really know this dude. 6 months later, I find out he got preliminary stages of dementia. You talking about the awakening of the spirit. Okay, how are you going to deal with that one? Good, Shane, but I said, okay, I got him. Stuff started, he started putting out knives on me, telling me the suckers, calling me the N-word, and all that. And then he gonna hit me with this one. Don't forget who I am. I ain't hit him with it, but I said to myself, dude, I don't even know you, right? So long long story short, I take that in, man. And it's been a roller coaster with him, man. He's at severe dementia now. So I've been through every stage with him. But we're talking about the awakening of the spirit that allowed me to do this. I created a page on his website that now is helping thousands of people. I named it Me, Dad, and Dementia. And I have some conversations with him, man. He always told me he ain't do it. Dad, you the only one in the room. He said, somebody must have came in here. So in this journey, like, I love the awakening of my spirit through the adversities, right? Because my God tell me, never will he place a burden on me greater than I could bear. But it's one thing to talk recovery, but recovery shows up in the midst of adversity. It's easy to be cool, calm, and collective when things are fine. Right? I'm talking about in the midst of sponsees that don't want to do the work. You want to be there for them. You know, some of them want to call and dump in your ear. And eventually the spirit, the awakening of the spirit say, yo, you can't talk about that no more. You either in sponsorship or sponsor canoe. I don't know which one you in, but we ain't doing, yo. I made that up. So let me tell you, right? I remember some more trifling stuff, right? I like talking about stuff because listen, your spirit can't be awoken if you don't do some bad stuff. Right? Because if your spirit is already awakened, it don't need to wake no more. You got to do something where you need to practice a spiritual principle, right? So some of my behavior was like that, man. I remember going through something. I moved, check it out. I had a group conscience with my children, right? I said, Daddy, moving to Charlotte. They said, all right, you know, they 13, 14. You know, my son's a little older, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And I moved to Charlotte. Relationship lasted maybe about 22 months. And then, did anybody ever take you out to break up with you? It was an awakening of the spirit. Because you know what she told me? She said, you can't keep growing up emotionally at the expense of hurting me. I didn't know what it meant until I got into a relationship and the same thing happened to me. Because that's how you get experience. You don't get experience just from hearing other people experience. Sometimes you got to get your own. Because you know, I don't say this, right? You know, you hear people say, oh, if I could do it, you could do it. Everybody would be doing it if it was that easy. I just tell you what I'm doing to make me who I am today. Like I don't do a lot of stuff as much. That's who I am now. I don't do it as much. I don't lie as much. My biggest thing, the closest thing to cheating, you know, that my wife would say is when I let too many people like my, you know, when you get the too many likes. Y'all know I'm talking, you in a relationship. She here, so she know about it, so I ain't talking behind her back. I'm only talking about it now because she here. I wouldn't do this if she wasn't here. And it's not to embarrass her, because she'll tell you, she don't play, right? You know how many times I had to block her? She might, I ain't lying. We get to her and said, yo, stay off my page. You block. She back on one of them only because they had shut one of them down and opened it back up. She said, oh, you friend me back? No, I ain't friend you back. No, that was a glitch, but I'm going to let you be there for a little while till you act up.
Oh, my God.
She's a wife, recurring addict. Yo, they funny. They awaken my spirit, though, right? Because check it out. She hears me share a lot, right? She said, so why are you not practicing what you're sharing with them in the house? Check it out. This is the truth right now. Right now, my family, and I'm getting better, they abandoned in the house. I think because I'm in the house, I'm being a good father, a good husband, and all that, and I'm not. My son cursed in school one day. Then I had to ask myself, I wonder why. Because what he hear me do, he gonna do. Right? He awakened my spirit the other day because, man, I got a daughter too, right? So they like two peas in a pod, man. And then my son did something to my daughter. So I go in the room, and my son, my daughter tell me, "Daddy, Jihad hit me." And then I started hitting him, telling him not to hit her, not realizing, yo, you just reinforced that it's okay to hit. And I know about trauma, man. I'm a licensed clinical counselor. I know about trauma, man. I know about the one episode that can really affect a child. And the last thing I want to do is affect him in that mouth, because I beg that he never find out how I treated his mother, man. Let me talk about the ape tradition, right? Like I said, some of y'all are not going to agree. It's all right. You know, it sounds so cute. Oh, we can agree not to agree, not to disagree and all that, but then you still pissed off. You're not living by the spiritual principle, the awakening of the spirit. I'm sharing my experience and you'll still get mad. Oh, we can agree to disagree and all that, man. Come on. So they have an ape tradition that says that NA should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. Right? Now look what it says. It says NA. It ain't say exam. Right? So let me ask y'all this, right? If I was sitting out there and I heard one of your family members sounding homicidal or suicidal, would you want me to say something? I'll wait. But then when I say something, you mad. Oh, you just broke the tradition. I'm trying to save a life. June 3rd, I went to go pick my son up. Right? I seen the house. It was deplorable. I seen the using on his mom's face. I'm a mandated reporter. When you're a mandated reporter, you're a mandated reporter 24/7, not just when you're on the job. I dropped her off to work. I got my son. Saturday goes, Sunday comes in, and then on Sunday, I get ready to take her back. Say, yo, you coming to get her? She says, no, my asthma's kicking up. Whatever, right? That happened a lot. I paid no mind. Monday comes in. He's still at my house. My wife was there at the time. I'm on a meeting, Lemon Tradition meeting, on top of that. Attraction rather than promotion. I done took her to conventions, all that. She got cleaned up, this and that. And I don't call social services. That Monday, he found her dead. So I live with, if I woulda, shoulda, coulda, regret. But now check this out. When is it all right to break somebody's anonymity? I wait. You think it's okay to save their life? Because after she died, now her sponsor would have called me about how many times my son done ran out of the house while she was in there using. Now you want to tell me that? And I don't understand when God used me to awaken my spirit, because even when I went to the funeral, right? You know, like people lie so much when you die. How you was this, how you was that, but they don't tell the truth. Half the people that came to the funeral was pissed off because I told the truth. I said, I don't know why y'all saying that. Why y'all ain't telling the truth? Wrote a nice poem that related to addiction. Where she put drugs over the welfare of her family and her children. Saved somebody's life. But guess who appreciated it? The addicts really didn't appreciate it. You know what appreciated it? The people from the funeral home. Son, thank you for sharing. Thank you. Like, do y'all really know what I just said? So when we're talking about, like, when God gives us something, right? The awakening of the spirit. God done blessed me to go back to school and get all this stuff that I have. And now you're going to tell me I'm limited or only helping you with 12 steps when our literature clearly states some of us need outside help. And sometimes the outside help is right in the room with you. Ask my sponsee. They don't just get 12 steps. Your ass sound crazy. I'm going to let you know. You might need to see somebody. So on the journey as I've been going through this, right, and the awakening of my spirit is just keep elevating, right? And it's only because of my relationship with the God of my understanding. And it keeps positioning me, right, to speak what I know and live up to it. Right? So through the 12 steps, like after the third step and I do the fourth step tell me what happened, the fifth step tell me why it happened, the sixth step tell me, am I tired? I'm not going to stay long. I got a 10-step story, right? I'm going to do a 10-step story and get out your way, man. I got a nice 10-step story. I had this sponsor. He used to piss me off. I think all my sponsors piss me off. I got one that used to say, you know, the newest one. He going to tell me, are you ready to be obedient? Who the hell you think you... I ain't saying to him. I'm just telling y'all what I thought about saying. Right? So this other one, right? I remember I was on the sixth step, right? I was in the middle of a sixth step, a real trifling behavior at that time. Let me tell you one trifling story, right? My son and my daughter is 3 months and 3 weeks apart. And two different baby mamas. Y'all got that? I'm glad I got a loving wife. Look, when you got somebody that can love you through your defects, hold on. Hold on to her. Right? So anyway, you know what she said to me the other day? I don't believe she said this. She said, babe, you better hurry up and teach me how to drive, because I'm going to have to drive you around someday. Anyway, so I tell y'all me knowing what's gonna happen when I get here, right? So I had a sponsor. So I used to have to fly to New York to do step work. It used to piss me off, right? And then one day I said, yo, man, this thing is getting coming overwhelming. So he says, yo, so do me a favor. He said, so how about you do the 10th step, learn the program pamphlet, till you get here? It's part of, that's the awakening of the spirit. Now, mind you, he started sponsoring me early on. Pissed me off because after he took me through the 12 steps and all that, spiritual awakening, he relapsed. So now you just get back. You back now, right? Time is dangerous when you think about, you think you got too much time, that somebody with less time, you can't listen to them anymore. I'm like, maybe you should have been doing the 10th step. I ain't saying to him. If you would have been doing the 10th step, you wouldn't have relapsed. You know what I'm saying? That stuff. So I don't take the suggestion. Then I'm on we can say Zoom, that breaking traditions. Zoom is a meeting now, right? Well, Zoom meetings happen out there, right? I don't want to know. I'm a traditionologist too. It's a platform where meetings happen at, right? So I heard this guy sharing. He don't know where the behavior coming from, and now the suggestion I didn't take, I want to give him. I said, maybe you should do a 10th step. And then I thought about it. I said, you know what? Now do it with him. And he became my accountability partner, right? And the crazy thing was, we started it to only do it for 7 days, not knowing what would happen, man. It lasted for 5 years, right? And I got so much out of it. And then I said, I wanted to know the significance of it, right? This is the 10th step. You can share it too. Please share it with somebody, right? So he said, Azam, I'm going to tell you why you need to do a 10th step specifically. He said, because there's something about you, you know, when the first step talk about, there's something, right? They don't even got a name for it. There's something that you get caught up in the endless loop of routine, and you go back to living based on how you want to live, based on a feeling that's not even real. Now, check that out. The feeling not even real, but to me it is real, whereas that my relationships become a sham and a parody again in recovery, right? So, because that's my first step. So what happens is, he said, then now because of that, at some point, you're going to have to make direct demands to somebody. He said, what steps are those? I said, 1 and 9. He said, what that equals? I said, 10. That's why you need to do a 10th step. But he said, but there's something about you, because the first step left you with a void, where that you're not feeling it, so you don't got the using drugs to cope with life. You got the defects to live, because the second step talking about we use drugs to cope with life. Right? He said, but you're using defects to cope with life, and because of that, you're wrecking somebody else's life, so now you're going to eventually have to put them on the list. He said, what steps are those? I said, 2 and 8. He said, what that adds you? I go, 10. He said, okay. He said, yo, it's just something about you, man. When you want to live in self-will, you said, you know the literature, Sam. You know when you may live in self-will, your decisions are based on force, pride, manipulation, ego, and lust. you turn into that whipping tornado again, wreaking havoc in people's lives, leaving a destructive path, like saying all this cute stuff. And he said, but then you forgot that you had a God that you could humbly go to and ask for help. But you decide not to. What steps is those? 3 and 7. What'd that add you? 10. Then he went one further. He said, because you still look at your defects as survival skills, as the 4-step talks about, right? You know your pattern of behavior, but here it is. You don't like doing an inventory to stop yourself from doing it because you still have a distorted security in acting up, right? He changed the words around for me to make it fit me. See, if you don't read for the literature to fit you, you probably never get it. He said, what steps are those? I said, 4 and 6. He said, what that add you? So I go, 10. He said, yeah, that's why you need to do a 10th step regularly. Right? So I do a 10th step today. I'm doing it again with another guy. Check it out. He lives in Sweden, man. A guy, he got about 890 days. So he's helping me. He think I'm helping him. He don't know how much he's helping me. Ask my wife. My house got better now. Cause I'm doing a 10th step. My wife said to me the other day, because we share the same faith, right? So when you're mad at your wife, right, you cannot speak to her for 3 days. In my faith. I ain't talking about your faith, right? So we walk past each other. I walk past the kitchen. She walk past. And I want some, right? But I ain't speaking to her, right? So she goes, babe, you ain't speaking to me. So I said to her, I said, because I found out this. Because if I say something, I'm going to say something to deliberately hurt your feelings. So what would you rather me do? Keep quiet. And she's up there and she said, wow. You know, man, we go through stuff. We go, like, I have petty issues, right? Like, I don't got big issues in my relationship. I got petty issues. Like, you know what I'm saying? My son come ask me for something to drink, right? She go, there's a cup. She way in the other room. There's a cup in the room. But I said, yo, but he got all these cups right here. Why I got to walk way over there? Right? She come out in the road and all that. You always doing this. You always doing that. Then I got to do stuff to give her a better analogy. I said, so, babe, let me ask you this. Like, I'm your husband. All I'm doing is using a cup. I said, do you know what some husbands are out there doing right now? That shit, she woke up quick. Dirty the cup, babe. Don't even worry about it. Right? Because again, like, you know what I'm saying, and we're not ashamed of where we are, because I got my wife by some years, a lot of years, you know what I'm saying? And it was so cute, man. That's why I'm glad I can't promote the store, right? But I was going by the store one day, right? And I'm going through the drive-thru. Go through the drive-thru, she in the drive-thru. She the cashier, right? She smile, I smile. Hey, what's your number? She gave me the number, right? But then I called her for 3 months and she ain't called me back. I was doing 90-90, right? So she ain't called me back. She ain't called me back. Then one day I'm sitting in the living room, she called me. Right? And I don't know, she don't mind me sharing it because she don't do it no more. She was a straight piehead. Straight piehead. But that, I'm telling you, sometimes I can be addicted to drama, right? And then she, come on, she be, yo, it be real loud too. But I ain't care. Because I don't want to talk about, like I love talking about, like, my promiscuous behavior got me in a lot of stuff. But this time it got me a wife. Right? So she'd come through. Then eventually something happened. I don't want to get into that story because that would get too emotional. But nonetheless, she stuck it through after me doing some foul stuff, man, right? And then when she came back to my life, next you know, she came back in and said she don't want to smoke no more. You know what I'm saying? She got about 2 years now. About 2 years or nothing. Yeah. And her meetings is just... Y'all created a monster. Let me just say that. Y'all created a monster. Right? Because she listens, man. And she's absorbing, man. She did something the other day based on what she's been watching. And she said something. And she's educating other people now based on what she's hearing. Right, the awakening of the spirit would awaken somebody else's spirit. Her family mad at her now because she don't like hanging out with them because all they want to do is do that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, in closing, man, right? The awakening of the spirit, the direct result of the 12 steps, right? But not writing the steps and trying to regurgitate and stuff like that is really applying the spiritual principles to your life. You know, because what happens is this. There's a circle, right, that denotes that there's room for all manifestations of a recovering person, right? I don't know. I can't claim that for you, right? But what happens is, a former sponsor said to me, a lot of people make it to the meeting, but they don't make it to the program. Mm-hmm. Right? And what happens, I'm glad I'm part of the square, man. I'm part of the square. I got a home group called the Rare Hope. We still meet on the platform. I got another home group called Walking Through the Literature. I'm proud to say that I helped get that group started about 5 years ago. And what happens is, man, we read a paragraph and ask anybody, do they have a question regarding the paragraph? And we're real structured with that. You cannot share if you have not gone over it with your sponsor. We don't want your comprehension or any of that, you know what I'm saying? You know, and it's just so much I've been through, man. So my last thing, the awakening of the spirit, right? How I know my spirit is awoken is a lot of people I didn't curse out when it comes to my dad, man. You know, and I end with this. Like, my dad right now, he's going through some exams, right? Because they found a big mass on his liver. Right, just found a mass on his liver, a mass on his pancreas. My dad was a heroin addict, right? And what happens is they try to tell me my dad was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver in 2021. Now, mind you, I've been meeting with y'all every year since then. Y'all were in the care plan. I don't see nothing about y'all watching it or being aware of it, anything like that, right? And so now they've been sending me a different pain. Because he's a heroin addict, he got rolling veins, so they can't hit him with the IV, right? And they keep sending him to different hospitals, but they're not sending the information to the hospital that he's coming over here because they need somebody specialized in doing that. And I was able to just talk to him and not cuss him out and say, like, what the F wrong with y'all? Because I'm a trained medical assistant, so I already know. And that's how you know when you have the awakening of the spirit. It's just what happens is this. What does your good character look like when it's up against bad character? I'm getting much better. There's a lot of people I didn't curse out in the past couple of months that, like, I believe they deserve a good curse out. You ever see anybody think they deserve a good curse out? I did it the other day. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got mad at me. Like, I know they was talking about me. They said, you old-timers. You soon they say that, you know they talk about you. You old-timers think y'all know the book and all of that, this and that. Y'all need to move on. Somebody going to say this. I don't know. I see what happened. I think I'm saying the last thing something happens. This is the last thing. They going to say, we need to give Azam a break. I didn't say that. Or somebody call me. I got a couple of sponsors in here. I'm not talking about y'all. Cause they ain't, I can't talk about them. They ain't here with me. Right? I'm talking about other sponsors. They call me and say, yo, I don't call you because you're too busy. How would you know if you don't call me? Last couple of things. The misinformation that's going on around in here about don't get into a relationship in your first year. Don't believe them. Get the hell away from them. You hear somebody tell you that, get away from them. A sponsor is a relationship. A home group is a relationship. Reading the literature is a relationship. Right? And don't do this to me, and I'm going to end for real. If I say I love you, don't tell me you love me more. I got a problem with that. You're now in competition with how much I love you. What do you mean? You call me more than I do? What do you mean? You text me more? That word more means you now just put us in competition. I don't like it. We got new lingo going on. I love that we're evolving, but damn, can some stuff stay the same? Anyway, if I said anything that offended you, I'm going to be nasty. You know some people real nasty. I don't like the people that be up here. If I said something to offend you, yo, call your sponsor. That ain't nice. Ain't nothing nice about that. It's the first person they got a sponsor. Now who they going to call? I will ask you, stop me, right? Azam, what you said bothered me. See, now I just came up with another story. Last one, I promise you. Because I said this one time, right? And check it out. No, this is true talk. At a convention, I said that. And a dude actually came to me, right? He said, because I said this, right? Like, one of the awakenings of my spirit. Sylvia, I love you, right? Right? It was a point in time I could not sponsor women. But I tried. We would do the first step and then end up in bed, powerless, right? But no. But what happened was this. A young guy came to me, because I said this too, right? I said, newcomers are not innocent when they get involved with somebody that's been here. They ain't always innocent. Because we come in with that behavior. Everybody trying to get a come up without doing the work. Right? And I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying that sometimes I didn't take advantage, but some of them, like, set you up for it. The guy got mad at me because he said he slept with an old timer, right? To me, I'd have been like, yo, that's the bomb, dude. You crazy. or you cleaned it. He said, yeah, sister, you had a choice. You had a choice. Now, whether you subdued to that, that's on you. I said, like, I wouldn't have been mad. That would have kept me coming back. Now, like I said, if anybody that said anything, please stop me. Zan, can we talk? I need you to explain this. And I would do my best to give it to you, you know what I'm saying, the best way I can, with some compassion, some love. Northeast Freedom Area, thank y'all for inviting us out, man. I enjoyed y'all. My name is Zan. Thank you for the shit.